Welcome to Okay, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Kendall Ford. I am a writer, storyteller, and absolutely love empowering people. I believe that our stories and experiences, no matter how much pain or heartbreak they may have once caused, hold incredible power. The power to bring freedom, the power to uplift others, and the power to live triumphantly. Sometimes people just need a listening ear and a safe space. This is that space. So, okay, let's talk. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode. Thank you for tuning in. As always, super excited that you've decided to spend a little bit of time with me today. I got some stuff on my heart this week. I got a lot of stuff on my heart this week. And so I am going to just jump right in and start right away with Kendall's 5-minute soapbox. And so I'm setting my timer and here we go. Kendall's 5-minute soapbox. And so I kind of want to split. There's two things I want to talk about, but it's all around the same thing right now. And the first thing is it's a message to white people, to my white friends and listeners, especially to those of you that are doing the work to educate yourselves about white supremacy, about white privilege, about the true history between white and black people. I applaud you for doing the work and educating yourself, but there's something that I need you all to understand, and that there is a mental cost to the racial bridge building that is trying to happen. And so as you approach people of color to ask your questions and educate yourself and to just kind of be better, know that there is a mental cost. There's a lot of cost to that for the person of color, okay? And it's not just a cost of our time, it's a cost of our emotional stress, of PTSD, of reliving traumas, anxieties that it may cause, depression, whatever. So just know that don't just walk up to someone and expect them to immediately want to give you that time and that energy. But instead, when you approach those conversations, instead of just asking, hey, do you have some time to talk about these things? Say, also, do you have the mental capacity to do that right now? And give someone of color the space to say, I would love to do that, but I can't do that right now. But also knowing that there's a lot of things you can read and things you can look up and all that don't really require you to actually have the conversations. The conversations are great, but know that that's not the only way to educate yourself. And so my message to my white friends, listeners, whoever you may be, let's keep having conversations. Let's keep being, bridge builders to in the community, bring racial reconciliation or whatever, but know that there is a cost to the people of color that you are talking to. And so don't waste their time, respect them, but acknowledge that they may be also working through some really hard things. Okay. And so the flip side of that, I want to speak to my black and brown brothers and sisters. You guys are not obligated to educate white folks about you, okay? I, as a black woman, I feel personally called to help be a bridge builder, but I am allowed to do that within my own settings and standards and boundaries and whatever that is. And the reason I want to say this is because I have recently come in contact with a lot of white people who are trying to educate themselves, and I love it. But I'm learning that there's a bigger cost, like I was saying, for me personally, right? And so I'm realizing like, oh, I still have some PTSD. Oh, that causes me anxiety. But guess what? I have spent my entire life, my entire 31, almost 32 years on this earth, learning how to deal with white people, how to work with white people, how to be around white people, how to be successful in a white room. And so it is at this time in my life, I have decided that I am not going to also now educate white people on how to deal with me. It is time for them to do the work. If they come to me, I'm also allowed to say, hey, you know what? I don't have the mental capacity or the space or the time to do all that educating with you right now, because there is a mental cost to me. I also, side note, am learning that if someone wants to have a whole long drawn out conversation or has to do with like an organization, how they can do better or blah, 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 I am no longer ashamed to say, you know what, that's going to be a consultant's fee, because time is way more, it's the time cost, it's the mental cost, it's all of that. And so I need you to put some dollars behind that ask. And so my white friends and my white listeners, as you have those conversations, which I encourage you to do, just take into consideration the cost beyond time that it may cost a person of color to have these conversations with you. My friends of color, we've spent our entire lives trying to educate ourselves about white people, how to deal with them, and all of that. So you know what? Set boundaries. If you want to be a bridge builder and you want to have those conversations, it is nothing wrong with setting a boundary. It is nothing wrong with looking after your mental health. It is nothing wrong with being compensated for your time, if that's what you would like, because these are not easy things for us to talk about. And we're not experts on being black just because we're black. So just take that into consideration too, okay? And so yes, there is a cost to being a racial reconciler, to being a bridge builder, to being an educator, to having these hard conversations. There is a cost for that. And I just want to spend this 5 minutes just acknowledging that extra cost. And the timer is going off and I'm hitting stop. But yes, there is a cost to being a racial bridge builder. And I really would love for both sides to understand that. Okay? Okay. I'm done now. So hey, everybody. I'm really excited about today's episode. I feel like I say that every week, but I'm actually very excited every week I get to record this show. But this week, I'm especially excited because I'm bringing on a good friend of mine. And she has been educating me so much recently about the LGBTQ plus community. And before I bring her on, I just kind of want to give a little bit of my perspective and why I'm having her come onto the show. And so I know that I have a lot of listeners who are in Missouri, but I also have a lot of listeners who are also on the coast or in major cities. And you guys know I'm from Baltimore. And so my perspective typically comes from that urban background, city background, tends to be a little more liberal and things like that. So when I think about the LGBTQ plus community here in Missouri, I'm going to be totally honest, y'all. If I was black and I was gay, there's no way in hell I would live here in Missouri. And my friend is laughing because I just feel like I'm already black and then I'm gay and then I'm living here in the Bible Belt in very conservative Missouri. And I just feel like if I had never lived here and I was still living in Baltimore and still living the very much an urban lifestyle, y'all excuse Jimmy in the background, but my perspective is like someone who's gay. I'm like, well, why don't you leave? Why don't you move? Why would you stay somewhere where you know that you're going to be oppressed maybe, or looked down upon or treated differently? And so I wanted to bring my friend Keisha on to have a conversation today, to bring some education and just have a discussion around this. She is amazing. And one thing that she's done here in Southwest Missouri is she's founded a nonprofit called Embrace. And so she's going to shine a light on this and bring some education because the LGBTQ plus community isn't just living and thriving in metropolitan areas where they are accepted. They are living and thriving in places where people don't want them to be there, like Missouri. And so welcome, Keisha. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And so did all that make sense? My little mini rant there?
Yeah, absolutely. It helped me kind of get more of a handle on what what I wanted to say today. So yeah. Thanks. So Embrace, we are actually describing ourselves now as a gender variant empowerment organization.
Okay.
So gender variant, a lot of people don't know that term. I didn't know it until I got into this community and started this nonprofit, but basically it's folks that do not identify just as the sex they were born as, or right, as that sex at all.
Right.
So that includes people who are trans, post-op, non-op, pre-op, folks who are gender fluid, folks who are non-binary. So just anybody that's not, just at one total end of the spectrum of gender.
Right. Right.
So that's what our membership is predominantly right now, but we are open to the entire LGBTQ community because most folks that fall under that gender variant umbrella will wave more than one flag. So right, we don't want to exclude anybody, but that's where our heart is because that's who we are as right, leaders in the group.
Right. So tell me about the LGBTQ community here in Missouri? For someone, speaking to someone like me who's not from here and may have never been here, and you're like, why are these people living in Missouri? Yeah. Tell me a little bit, like, what the community here looks like. Is it big, surprising, or, you know, just speak a little bit to that.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, our community is very large here. I knew that we had a large LNG, so lesbian and gay community. I had no idea how large of a gender variant or trans community we had until, you know, some people that are very close to me, enlightened me to that fact. So, right. The lesbian and gay community here, I mean, we've got lots of other nonprofits and organizations and support groups, to help those folks just find their tribe and find their community. So there's a lot of people within the community here, and they are, you know, out and successful and working among us. And sometimes you're aware and sometimes you're not.
Right.
And that's just dependent on how much they want to share or how, I guess how flamboyant or obvious right. some of them are, right. based on their personality. But, the other thing that's really surprising about it that I have learned just since, you know, starting this nonprofit and talking to people about it, as scary as it may seem to be LGBTQ in this area, it's come leaps and bounds, from probably just the last 20 years or so. And I've received a very warm reception when talking to folks about it.
Really?
Now that is me as a cisgendered white woman,
right.
having those conversations in those spaces. You know, so that may have a little bit to do with it, I'm sure. But, I've had a ton of people just ask how they can help and how they can get involved. And they're interested in it and they want to learn. And the thing that I've found is, those that don't so far have not made a big stink about it. I can just kind of feel it or see it in their body language or their facial expressions. And sometimes if it's a safe environment and I get that look or that feeling from them, I'll call it straight out and say, hey, you look uncomfortable right now. What do we need to talk about?
Right.
What questions do you have?
Right. Because do you find that their uncomfortability with it? I mean, even some people who listen to this podcast will probably see the subject and they won't listen. And I wish they would, because we're bringing light and education into something that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Right.
So do you find that their uncomfortability with it is just that they genuinely just don't like it, or they just don't understand it?
It's more, from my experience, it's been more that they don't understand it, especially if I'm talking about gender variant folks. Now, if I say transgender, people have a little bit more clear of an idea of what I'm talking about. But if I say gender variant, I find that doesn't turn them off as quickly, and it kind of piques their interest because they're like, oh, that's a new term. I don't know what that means.
Right. So, and explain that term real quick for our listeners. Let's take a pause in case we have someone who has stayed and isn't typically going to learn something about this community.
Sure.
Let's break down the letters for a second, because I think sometimes it can get confusing.
Even for me.
Right, because I am a cisgendered woman. I have to, I'm like, okay, we added a letter. What does that one mean? Because I want to treat people in the LGBTQ plus community with love and respect. And so, yeah, break down the letters for us real quick.
Absolutely. So first off, cisgender just means that you identify as the gender that you were born as. So
right.
If you were born a woman, if you're cisgendered, you identify as a woman, you feel like you're a woman, you know, in your heart of hearts that you are a woman and you don't question that ever.
Okay.
So moving forward from that, LGBTQ. So L is lesbian, B is bisexual. Oh, G, I skipped G. So lesbian, gay, bisexual, T is trans, Q is queer. And we actually just discussed this in group this past weekend. Queer used to be like I don't like that word.
Right. You know, it's fun. I just had this conversation with my mom because I'm attending the Queer Revival.
Yeah, me too.
This weekend with Cam. And my mom was like, I thought queer was a bad word. Okay,
we are taking it back.
Okay, they're taking it back. Okay.
That's now we being my community
friends
and myself as an ally, but one of my board members is a trans woman, and those were her words. So quoted by Jacqueline, we are taking it back.
And so what does it mean exactly, queer?
So queer means, to me, it means that you don't fit in any box. You're not, maybe that to you means that you are gender variant, which could be non-binary or, you know, trans femme or trans mask, feminine or masculine. That you just don't fit into the box. Or it could refer to your sexuality, which is another point that I want to make, that sexuality and gender identity are two completely separate things, and people forget that. Sometimes I even do. It can also refer to your sexuality. So maybe you are bisexual, maybe you are pansexual, meaning that you are attracted to anybody that you have a emotional connection with, whether they're male or female or somewhere else on the spectrum. So queer just basically means that it's a more all-encompassing term as opposed to trying to put a label on it.
Okay. But they have reclaimed queer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're working on it.
So that's the Q. And then is there other
Q. Letters? So I
always say plus because then that can include whatever.
Yeah. That's the easiest way to stop. So there's I, which is, oh my goodness. I don't know if I remember what I is. See guys, it's okay. And then A, which I believe refers to asexual, meaning that a person either only is sexually active with themselves or not at all.
Okay.
I could totally Google it right now, but I don't remember what it
is. That's okay. That's okay. Forgive us for anyone who's listening and you identify.
Yes, I apologize. Bad ally.
But I think one of the things that that I want to bring into this show is that it's okay to not know the answers to something. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to ask questions and to have conversations when you don't understand. When you don't understand something, doesn't mean that it's bad.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that it has to have this negative connotation. It just means going to that person out of respect and love and saying, hey, I really want to do better and understand better. Like, educate me, which is what we do in the Black community or trying to on a regular basis. And so, thank you for educating us.
Thanks for being receptive to it. And, you know, I'm gonna flip that a little bit. When it comes to Missouri, people that have never, ever been here and only see things about Missouri in the media assume that we are all back-ass words hillbillies.
Right.
And we cling to our guns and our Bibles and we roadkill.
Right. You
know? And I'm not going to lie, there's some of us.
There are some folks that are
like that. But we are coming into a new generation of folks that live in Missouri that are kind of breaking some of these hurtful cycles that have come from just generations of, you know, that middle America thing that used to make those stereotypes somewhat accurate, but it's not really like that anymore. If you haven't been to Springfield and you're coming through this direction for any reason, I encourage you to come out. We've got some cool stuff here.
Yeah, we've got some awesome coffee shops too.
Yeah.
And some amazing small businesses.
Yeah, great small businesses, you know, great theaters, great food. I mean, there's a lot here that people would not expect to find here.
It's true.
So when it comes to things like the LGBTQ community or people of color or people of different backgrounds, different religions coming mm-hmm. here, I would say, you know, be leaning toward the thought that people want to learn more often than not. That's what I've seen. But I live here, and it's kind of one of those, I'm already, quote unquote, in the club because I live here. So again, I'm trying to be aware of my privilege as I'm making these statements.
Right,
but,
right.
But I do think that there are a lot of folks here that do want to learn, and that's been my experience with this. And so that's also been my experience with the LGBTQ community as an ally. I always thought that I was an ally because I never, you know, had anything against folks of the LGBTQ community, but that doesn't make you an ally. An ally is somebody who is willing to do the research and the homework yourself,
right?
And learn, and stand up for the community. See something, say something,
right?
And it's the same with the Black community. If I see racism here, active racism, I need to say something, or I'm part of it,
right?
And it's the same thing with you know, hate crimes and things like that here in the city, but. Yeah, just be willing to answer questions as long as they're coming from a place of respect and love and true curiosity.
Exactly.
Know your boundaries.
Exactly.
And stick to them. But most people I think wanna know more.
Yeah. And so with that thought process, Is that why, for someone like me who, I mean, I've lived here now, so I understand a little bit more, but sure. Before I had ever come to Missouri, I thought that Missouri was full of, you know, hillbillies and rednecks and racists.
Yeah, for sure.
I just had no context for that. And so, but now that I'm educated in the course and I've been here and I actually love it, why do you think that the, and of course you're speaking for this community that you represent with Embrace, but why do you think that they stay? Knowing that they could go to another state, even another metropolitan area in Missouri, and have a little more acceptance, mm-hmm. or maybe thrive a little more, why do you think they stay?
That's really hard to say, only because everybody's so different.
Right.
But I can speak to a very close friend of mine who is gender fluid, and they have chosen to stay. And I think that one of the biggest reasons that they have chosen to stay is because of the familial connections here.
Right.
Now that person's not completely out, so their family is not aware. Okay. But they still have a relationship with them. And I think that there's this precious balance that happens when a person is part of this community, that they weigh their, how authentically they live against how that will affect their relationships. And some relationships are worth letting go of so you can be more authentic. And some relationships are ones that mean enough to you that you are able to put aside some of those things that would make you feel and live more authentically, more often, but you're not in a place where you're willing to sacrifice that relationship. So okay. That's one side of it. Like this close friend of mine, I know that they have an aging parent, so they know that they can't leave that parent because that's all that parent has.
Right.
And they're not in a place with their fluidity where if they're not able to dress opposite of what their birth assignment is, that it's so harmful to them.
Right.
That keeping that relationship with that person does more harm than good. And this might not make very much sense. But they are able to be their assigned gender when they need to be for certain relationships that matter to them.
And it's worth it because of the relationship.
Right. Because okay. of the relationship. And because of their, you know, this person has a job that they really, really
right.
enjoy.
Right.
And that they don't want to give up. But they're not willing to necessarily, I don't want to say not willing. They don't feel safe or comfortable to present socially at work.
Right.
Because they're concerned about how that will affect that relationship. But they have the support and the love at home and at other places with other friend groups where they can present there. And right. so it's not as if they're having to suppress it all the time. So it's a balance. It's a balancing act.
Right. And it sounds to me like it's super personal and it's different for everyone, where I'm sure there probably are LGBTQ plus people who have just gotten the hell out of Missouri.
Oh yeah. I'm friends with many of them.
I They're mean, like, got, deuces.
I've got a very close friend who, is a gay man and he lived here, in this area. Actually, he lived in Mansfield. And if you're from here and you know about Mansfield, trying to be gay in Mansfield is hard. He unfortunately suffered some very serious physical abuse in Mansfield, wow. At the hands of school chums. And I don't want to call them chums. I don't know, chumps. That's what they were. and he moved closer to the Springfield area for a little bit. Ended up getting his GED. Worked, made great friends, great connections here. But he just wasn't able to be the person that he was, and a lot of that had more to do with his family, like his own personal family, than the rest of society.
Right.
So he did pick up, and he actually ended up moving to the Portland, Oregon area, and he's very successful now. He's married. Just very recently married. He's very happy. He does come back to Missouri to visit, and he's even considered moving back a time or two, just because, you know, his family needed him. But unfortunately, they've all passed now. So he stays in contact with me and a few other friends here, and then he just lives his best life out there. So it is something that people do. Not everybody sticks around here, and I can't blame them, because, you know, this close friend of mine that's fluid, gender fluid, does have, I think, a privilege, the way that they've described it, of having that support at home. That's not something that everybody gets. Not everybody feels safe to come out at home, or maybe they have come out, and we have a lot of unhomed trans youth here.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So some of it is for lack of resources for being able to move. Some of it is fear, I think. Of never getting those relationships back.
Right. And because it's so conservative, like, I just couldn't imagine losing my family too.
Right.
And having to deal with all of that, you know. And that's something that I think is interesting. So I would consider myself like a friend of the LGBTQ plus community. Like, I support them. I feel that my personal purpose is fighting for my people, the Black and Brown people of America. But I am a friend and ally. I support them as much as I can. While I fight my fight, and also support Black LGBTQ people, because I know that's a whole nother thing.
And they exist here too. I don't know if you've met them, but there's a little mini culture of people of color that are in the LGBTQ community as well.
God bless them, because
In fact, unfortunately, our group is getting ready to host TDOR, which is Trans Day of Remembrance. That'll be on Sunday the 20th at Campbell United Methodist Church.
Okay.
At 4:30 p.m. is when the doors open, and it's a big funeral. It's a big funeral for our trans siblings that have passed away. Not passed away. I'm sorry. That is very incorrect. They've been murdered. Those folks have been murdered simply for living authentically.
Mm.
One of them was a Black trans woman that lived here in Springfield. Her name was Dominique, and she was murdered. Now, it's unclear as to whether or not she was murdered specifically because she was trans or because she happened to be engaging in some unsafe behavior at the time.
Right.
But either way, it's one life too many.
Right.
That has been lost. And we want to honor her and everybody else that, unfortunately, we're up to 44 victims just in the U.S. this year. There's reasons to leave. There are reasons to leave. But if you have the connections with a good support group, whether it's an actual organization like Embrace or just a group of friends or a group of family members that support you, there is a lot here that is good for the community.
Yeah.
There are a lot of events. We have a pride every year. We haven't the last couple of years because of COVID, but we do have a big 6,000 people strong pride parade every year. We've got a lot of, the local art scene and the LGBTQ community seem to pretty much go hand in hand here.
Yeah.
So
art people tend to be pretty open.
Yeah.
I love artsy people.
So there are great things about being here. And too, I think that there are some people that are just like, you know, I've lived here my whole life and, I've been who I've been my entire life, and I'm going to just bank on that the people are going to continue to love me. And I may have to teach them and educate them a little bit. I may lose some people, but that's okay too. But it's bringing that education and that awareness and that visibility to this area.
Right.
And growing that community here because, you know, we could have children, even if you're just an ally or you're just somebody on the outskirts of all this and you're like, I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I don't support it. I'm not against it.
Right.
You could have a child or a niece or a nephew or a close friend that goes through this.
Yeah.
And so maybe you want to make this area a better place for them, because outside of you know, all the things that are great and celebratory about the LGBTQ community, we also have a lot of other really cool things here. We've got, you know, our farming communities and our local farmers markets and local music and our art scene, performance art, and all of that is growing all the time.
Right.
And it's not going to get better if all of the colorful people leave.
Right.
There are reasons for people to leave, and there's no judgment behind any of it. But
you got to do what's right for you. Some of us are called to stay and be warriors for multiple different reasons. But you also have to recognize that there is a mental toll to that as well.
100%.
And that's something that I would love to point out is that, again, in the rant for this episode, I'm talking about the rant, my 5-minute soapbox, this episode is talking about the cost of being a bridge builder for the Black and Brown community, for the LGBTQ community, like just being different in the cost that comes with that.
Yes.
And it's that I need white people, white cis people to know that, especially white men, because it tends to be the systems are made for them to succeed.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that they need to do a lot of educating and the growing, white people in general. But I need them to know that as you come to people of color, as you come to people in the LGBTQ community and you want to learn and grow, amen, like I applaud you, but know that there is an outpouring for us. Mm-hmm. For me as a person, as a woman of color, it's not just my time that you're taking. There's a mental toll in that.
Yeah.
And so come correct when you come to a person in the LGBTQ community. Ask your questions, but also ask the question of them like, hey, I have all these questions and I'm looking for someone to talk to them about, but do you have the mental capacity to help me in this moment?
Right.
Don't assume that time is the only thing that you're taking from them, because this person is going to open up your mind and educate you, but it could also be traumatizing to them.
Absolutely.
You know, it could also, like, I'm constantly working through like anxiety and depression and things like that. And so opening, I love to communicate and educate people, but there's a huge toll on that as well. There's an exchange there. And so just make sure the ROI is good on both sides.
Oh, for sure. And you know, we live in an electronic age, guys. If you have questions and,
right,
you know, don't go to your one Black friend.
Exactly.
Because there are enough folks here in Missouri that for every white person, you know, or every 50 white people, there might be one Black person
in their
circle. Don't go to that one Black person and ask them all your questions. Maybe go to that person and say, you know, what are some resources you would recommend so
exactly.
I can educate myself?
Exactly. And it's the same for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, absolutely the same. I mean, what are some resources? And that's where I find my personal role as an ally to be so important, is to take some of that off of the plate of the people that are close to me that are living this.
Right.
And I'm like, hi, I'm learning too. So let's you and I have a conversation. And
right.
if I don't know the answer, I'm not going to pretend to know how a trans person feels
exactly.
or lives or experiences things. But maybe we can research it together or find out together.
Right.
You know, let's just take that burden off some people a little bit by doing our own homework and our own research and our own educating. It's the same, like, if you're a Christian, you are taught to go to church, read the Bible, hear the word, and spread that to other folks.
Right.
It's not up to the pastor of the church to tell every single person every single thing about the Bible.
We're all meant to be. Well, that's if you're living how you should live.
True story. And that's,
you know, you don't want to get me on an evangelical rant.
Oh, girl. And that is another thing about this area. I don't want people to think that we are all super uber Christian in that
right.
we're not open to those folks or those places.
Right. Because people assume the Bible Belt, right? Because this is part of the Bible Belt. Like, though that everyone must feel that way. And I, quite frankly, have met a lot of crazy evangelicals here.
Oh, yeah.
However,
I have met
some amazing people who I mean, some of them may identify as Christian. Some of them are ex a lot of things.
Right.
But the love that I felt from the community that is not that white evangelical community is
right.
so real and so powerful. And so, yeah, for y'all listening, Southwest Missouri is not all crazy evangelicals. There
well,
are some.
And you guys have just mentioned, too, so our T-Door event, Trans Day of Remembrance, is happening inside of a church They are fully aware of the type of event that it is. They are helping out. They have their own sound people on board. Like, they're for it. They're an extremely affirming church. It's Campbell United Methodist. There are other churches, Queer Revival that we were talking about. Yep. That's a big concert that I'm aimed at. I'm super excited for that. Yeah. I am too. We're going to have a booth there, and if I can get appropriate childcare, I may hang out for the concert. It's really exciting, but, you know.
My daughter's very excited because they're having a cash barn. I told her she could have a Shirley Temple.
Oh, I may be able to bring one of my kiddos with me. But yeah, it's like, that's also happening inside of a church.
Right. And they are, if you aren't familiar with the Queer Revival, I highly recommend you look at them up on Facebook. I'm actually going to have them on the show in a few weeks. I'm really excited about that episode. But the Queer Revival, they are reclaiming holy spaces for people in the LGBTQ+ community, which I feel like is huge because a lot of them have felt like they had to choose to either be their almost authentic self or be Christian. And even as a Black woman, I know what that feels like to feel like I can either be Black or I could be Christian. And a lot of times white evangelicals have made me feel like those two cannot coexist. And so I'm like, I bought the tickets. I'm taking my daughter. We're going to make a whole thing of it. So I highly recommend you guys, I'll put the link for that. If you're interested in what the Queer Revival is, I'll put the link for that in the show notes today. I do know that the plan is to take the Queer Revival around the country, which I'm really excited for.
That's a cool idea.
I'll also put links for Embrace and how you can get in touch with Keisha if you guys have any questions. If you are a part of the LGBTQ+ community here in Southwest Missouri and you are desperately needing community, or maybe you're not even part of that community, but you're wanting education, you're wanting to learn how to be an ally, I highly recommend connecting with Keisha to be a part of Embrace, because you guys do groups and stuff like that too, right?
Yeah, we have a weekly support group. You have to have coffee with us and kind of go through an interview process before we can tell you when and where it is, but that's just for the safety of our members. But we're open to everybody that needs it, that's able to receive what we have to offer.
And at the time, you guys are focusing mainly on adults, right? You're not focusing on youth.
Okay. Right. Anybody 18 and over, there is a place for youth. If you contact the GLOW Center, they do have a support group for LGBTQ youth. We are not set up for that. There's a lot of legal stuff that we have to go through to get that going. And we've only been around since May, so we're not there yet. But mostly adults, parents, support people, allies. You don't have to be in the community to come to the group. If you are an ally or a parent and you need support, we're here for you. And there was something else I was going to mention about it. We do other events too.
Right.
We'll have a big event. We've got TDOR this month. In March, we have something really fun for Trans Day of Visibility, and I'll talk more about that another time. In June, we do a mini Pride event, and then starting the first Tuesday in December, we're actually going to be doing Queer Bingo every first Tuesday of the month at the Blue Room Comedy Club.
That's super cool.
So shout out to Chris in Blue Room.
He's really cool people.
Being great, helping us out there. So that's going to be a fun event. And you get free jazz after the bingo. So,
yes.
And you don't have to be 105 to come. Please, young people, come and have fun with us. You can play bingo and listen to jazz and still be young and hip.
Exactly. So. Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that we have all the contact info for Embrace and also the TDOR event. I'll make sure that you guys get that info in the show notes as well. And even if you're not living in Southwest Missouri and maybe you're living somewhere else around the country or around the world, I just encourage you to not be afraid to ask questions. Make sure that you're not labeling things that are different or things that you don't understand as automatically being bad, because that's not the case and that's not truth. In me bringing Keisha onto the show, I'm starting a conversation and I hope that it's educating for you all. It was incredibly educating for me. The purpose of this is to educate, is to talk about the things that you feel like people aren't talking about. And so the education part of the LGBTQ+ community is huge for me, but also like educating people that there are LGBTQ people all over the country. They're not all just in major cities. And so reach out to those in your community who may just need a friend or whatever. And so, yeah, thank you, Keisha, for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
You're awesome. And I just like to point out that I love Keisha because she's a white girl. She's named Keisha. And I'm just like, y'all, first white girl I ever met named Keisha.
So there's four of us in Springfield. We
all know each other. Are they all white?
Yes.
What the heck?
I know. It's so funny. I think, like, the Cosby Show, which I know bad reference now, but the Cosby Show was, like, really popular in the 80s when we were all born. And Keisha Knight Pulliam was just the cutest little thing ever. And yeah, I love
your all's parents were like going for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, still the same in everything.
Yeah, it is. I love her, and she is a great ally to the LGBTQ community, but also to the Black and Brown community as well. Yep. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Okay, Let's Talk. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date on our latest episodes. You can also check the episode notes for ways to get in touch with me and for more info on the show. Until next time, own your story and live empowered. Bye.